Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Church for Real People. Glad you joined us this weekend. Yeah, you glad to be in church? Awesome. Welcome, welcome. Want to say hello to all of our locations gathering this weekend, Middletown and Hokesson, all of you joining us online. We're glad you're along for the ride as well. And I'll tell you a little bit more about this new series that we're starting in just a moment, but I do want to pause on the front end and celebrate an amazing Easter last weekend. It was incredible. Thank you to all of you who served and invited and prayed and gave and just made it possible. We saw thousands of people join us across our locations. And check this out, 166 people put their faith in Jesus Easter weekend, including 34 in our kids' environment. So we're excited about that. Just an incredible weekend. So can we celebrate that one more time? Yeah. It's an amazing Easter. And if you were here for the first time at Easter and you're back, welcome. We're very glad that you're here. There are a couple of other things coming up over the next few weeks I want to make you aware of. The first is Compassion Weekend, which is happening next weekend. And this is our chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus in tangible ways throughout our communities in our region, what we call Journey City, which is a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location here in Newark. And we have over 500 opportunities for you to serve. If you're in one of our J groups, you'll hear from your leader this week about a chance for you to serve together, but you can also go to the Serve app and sign up there. We have food distribution opportunities and special needs serving opportunities and single moms serving opportunities and just lots of amazing things happening around our region. And then 3 weeks from now is Baptism Weekend. So I'm fired up about this. Yeah, can tell this is kind of a party around here, and it's been a few months since we have Baptism Weekend. Very excited about this one. If you have put your faith in Jesus and haven't yet gone public with your faith in baptism, that is your next step, and we'd love to celebrate that with you. You can go to our website or our app and sign up to be baptized last weekend of April. It's going to be a really cool experience and very powerful as well. So encourage you to be a part of that. But for today, we are kicking off this series that we're calling Breathe, which is about interrupting anxiety. So quick show of hands, all of our locations. How many of us have felt anxious at any point in the past few weeks? Just by a quick show of hands. How many of us feel a little bit anxious about raising our hand right now? Just, it's okay, I feel it. And I think this is something that so many of us deal with. Anxiety can feel very suffocating, can it? I mean, it takes the oxygen out of our lungs. It complicates our relationships, harms our health. It steals our confidence. It threatens to drown out our faith. So the question during this series is there a way to interrupt anxiety? And that's what we're going to explore over the next few weeks. You're going to want to be here every weekend, wherever you're starting from spiritually, wherever you are right now. It's going to be a very, very impactful series. And let me start by saying that I struggle with anxiety. So I consider myself accomplished in this field. You say accomplished when it comes to helping people with anxiety? No, accomplished when it comes to struggling with anxiety. I feel like I am kind of accomplished in this field. I know what it is to deal with anxiety, and I know that I am not alone. This is a problem for a growing number of us, and even if you don't struggle with anxiety, chances are good you are related to somebody or friends with somebody, connected with someone who does. And what most of us who battle anxiety want to know most of the time is why, right? Why am I so anxious? And we know there are reasons. Many of us feel a lack of purpose and direction. We're unsure why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing with our lives. That feeds our anxiety. There's financial pressure. There's pressure to keep up and succeed and accomplish things. And all of that weighs on us. There's fear around what's going on in the world, right? We are the first generation that has been able to immediately know everything that's happening everywhere so we can worry about it. You know, congratulations, we're the first generation, and we got stuff going on in our world. I mean, we got earthquakes in New Jersey. You know what I'm talking about? We got reasons to feel anxious. And then on top of that, many of us are lonely, we're feeling disconnected, and we're not really sure what to do about that. And let me say as well that there can be chemical factors to anxiety that require a medical response. We've talked about that in some previous series on mental health and messages where we've explored that. But this series is focused on the emotional and relational and spiritual dimensions of anxiety. What does God have to do with any of the stuff that makes us so anxious? And if we're honest, some of us, the thought of God makes us anxious. We've got religious anxiety and fears around our faith and spiritual angst and uncertainty. So the question is, can God help? And will God help? So there's a part of the Bible that speaks to this, and it's written to followers of Jesus. So if you don't consider yourself one yet, you might be skeptical about this, and I get that. But for all of us who are followers of Jesus, this is what we read. Don't worry about anything. Have a great week. That's what I always think when I read that first line. It's like, if we stop there, seems like there should be more to the story. And there is. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So apparently God wants us to experience peace, which brings up the question, I think for a lot of us, why aren't we? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to actually work our way backwards through these verses that I just read, and we'll kind of walk our way back through them next weekend. We have a very unique experience plan. You're going to get to hear some of the stories of real people from within our community of faith who are facing anxiety and learning how to do that through their faith. But for today, I want us to focus on those last few words of that second verse we read, and that is that God's peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to give you the big idea right up front, and that is that real peace is found in Jesus. But many times we want the peace that Jesus promises without the path that it takes to experience it and what it looks like to live our lives in Jesus. So what does that mean? Well, let's find out. You ready? Sound good? So here we go. The night before Jesus died on a cross, he was with his disciples, and his closest followers were gathered around him. It was a night that was filled with uncertainty. Anxieties were high. His friends did not understand what he was about to do, and Jesus had attempted to drop hints and explain this to them over the 3 years that he had done life with them, but they still didn't get it. Mostly, they were just worried about what Jesus going to the cross meant for them, which is what anxiety often does. It shrinks our world down to only being able to see whatever we feel and are experiencing in that moment in a very kind of self-oriented way. But Jesus spends the evening with his disciples. He's very patient with their anxieties, and he teaches them what he has come to do, what their lives are going to look like in the days and weeks and years to come. And finally, at one point in the evening, his disciples kind of take a deep breath, and they say to Jesus, okay, we're good. You know what? This did it for us. We're good now. We believe. Mission accomplished. Whew. It was rough leading up to this, but now we're good. And Jesus kind of responds in an unusual way. Jesus asked, oh, do you though? It's kind of what he's saying. Do you finally believe? You ever thought you had anxiety figured out only to have it show back up in your life? Anybody else had that moment? I've had this moment where I've had a good stretch and I thought, okay, I'm good. You know what? I may never feel anxious again. All I needed to do was exercise once and I'm good. Like, I got this. I figured out anxiety. I'm in a good place. I know what's going on. I know how to face this now. Or maybe you thought, well, all I needed to do was get a promotion. I did. And now I will never stress over work again. How many of us have been there? Just so I'll never be anxious again. Or I just needed that one coworker to get a transfer. And now I feel like I have overcome anxiety. I've been there many times. And then when I do feel anxious again, not if, but when, I feel so discouraged. Anybody had that experience? And I think, what is wrong with me? God, I believe in you. Why am I struggling with this all over again? But Jesus knows me better than I know myself. And he gets it. And he knows that replacing doubt with faith and replacing anxiety with peace is a lot like breathing. So, the breath I'm about to take is going to accomplish exactly what it was intended to accomplish. It filled my lungs with what I need, and it emptied my lungs of what I don't need. Mission accomplished. But guess what? I am going to need to breathe again. And again. And again. And again. And Jesus knows that we don't just finally believe. That's actually not how it works. Believing is like breathing. We may have a starting point in our faith when we finally realize that Jesus is leader and Lord, and we begin to trust him and follow him. But we don't just believe once and then we're done believing and we just coast on autopilot. We actually have to keep believing. I need to believe right now, just like breathing. I'm gonna need to believe again 5 seconds from now. Depending how the message goes, I'll probably need to believe again in 5 minutes from now. I'm gonna need to believe again in 5 days, 5 weeks from now, 5 months from now, 5 years from now. It's like breathing. Replacing doubt with faith, replacing anxiety with peace is breathing in the peace of God, breathing out the anxiety. And moment by moment, this is how we do life and live life in Christ Jesus. Anxiety comes from thinking peace is a place we arrive rather than a part of the path. So often we fall into that trap, right? Of thinking, one day I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna have peace, and I'm not gonna have to do anything. I'm not gonna have to ever worry about it again. Can I tell you what I'm usually most anxious about? How anxious I am. Anybody else? I don't know that anything else even comes close. Like, that is what I am most anxious about when I get anxious, is how anxious I am. I get a little bit anxious, and then I get kind of anxious that I'm a little bit anxious. And then I get more anxious that I'm more anxious. And I just start going down this path. But when I make peace with the fact that I am never going to finally get my life in this world completely figured out, then I can learn to breathe. So if you were hoping this series would fix your anxiety forever, it probably won't. But what God does want to do over the next few weeks is teach us how to lean more into life in Jesus so that we can experience peace, because real peace is found in Jesus. What does that mean? It means that real peace is found when we are learning to constantly surround ourselves with Jesus and breathe the promises of Jesus into our life and breathe out the stuff that is making us anxious. And here's why Jesus' friends are going to need to keep breathing and believing. Jesus knows that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. One of the cruelest things about anxiety is that it often disconnects us from the very thing we need the most, which is togetherness with each other. It scatters us. It's what it does. Jesus knows that later that same night, guards will arrive to arrest him. His disciples will freak out. They will be so anxious about this that they will run away eventually from him and from each other. And in some ways, we are still living this out. We are often scattered and isolated, and it's making our anxiety, the anxiety we already feel, so much worse. You know, I read recently, research shows that the average person has 4 fewer friends than 5 years ago. We're scattered. We're isolated, and we're becoming more and more so. And as a result, we don't know how to get what we need relationally and how to give it to the people around us. I heard a story recently about a woman who suffered a traumatic brain injury. And as a result of that, she would suddenly fall to the floor unexpectedly. And people around her, when they saw this happen, would rush over and they would help her get back to her feet. But when they asked her about this, she said, "You know, I think people rush to help me up because they're so uncomfortable seeing an adult lying on the floor. But what I really need is for someone to get down on the ground with me." Think about that. Do you know what happens when the anxiety runs rampant in our lives? We lose our empathy. We lose our ability to receive empathy, and we lose our ability to give it. And we stop trying to accompany people, and we start trying to fix them. And we see people as problems to be solved. You don't believe me? Go for a drive on 95. Those aren't humans in those other vehicles. Those are problems to be solved. And that's what anxiety does to us. We lose our empathy. And as followers of Jesus, we should understand like no one else what it means to get down on the ground with people, because that's what Jesus did for us. He got down in the dirt with us, and then he helped us to our feet. He didn't stay down there with us, but he helped us to our feet from a place of compassion and empathy. And that's what we were created to do for and with each other. But anxiety scatters us. It makes us more interested in fixing people than we are accompanying people. So part of experiencing peace means becoming unscattered. That's why, as followers of Jesus, we do life in community. It's why we gather together like this. It's why we connect in groups. It's why we serve together. We know that we cannot afford to become unscattered or to become scattered. But instead, we've got to become unscattered. We've got to be in life, doing life with each other, close connection with other people who are going the same direction spiritually, because otherwise, anxiety wins. And you can see this in our world, that people are losing their framework of seeing humanity in other people, because we're so anxious. So who do you need to connect with this week? Where is it that anxiety has caused us to scatter? I know it does this in my life, and to isolate from the very thing I need the most. But I want you to notice something else, that Jesus says, when anxiety scatters you, you're gonna isolate from each other, but you'll also leave me alone. Jesus knows what it feels like to be alone, and yet I want you to notice what he says next. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I've told the story before of snorkeling off the coast of the Dominican Republic, and if you're impressed by that, by the way, it's the only time in my life I've ever done it, and the only way I got out there was to not tell my friends it was my first time snorkeling, because I knew they wouldn't take me. And I remember we had snorkeled, and I had done okay, but then we got on one far side of the island that we had set out from, and there was a strong wind and an ocean current and this difficult reef to get back across. And my friends who were with me, they got caught up in their own efforts to get across this reef and make it back to the island, and they kind of forgot I existed. And I was too proud to yell for help until it was too late and they couldn't hear me anymore. And so I was bobbing up and down with my strength gone, unable to go back under. Every time I tried to go back under to swim across this reef, I would just get lungs full of seawater, and I had no strength left in me to swim for land. I was exhausted, and I looked around, there was nobody. And I thought, well, you know, it's a blue sky. It's beautiful day. It's not a bad place to go if I gotta go. And right about that time, I heard a voice. It was another snorkeler who had been behind me, and he was also struggling with this current, but he didn't want to go ahead until he saw what was happening with me. He could tell I was in trouble. He had worked his way over to me, and he had been keeping an eye on me the whole time. Sometimes we feel like we are drowning in anxiety and everyone else is swimming away. But when we put our faith in Jesus, do you know what we get? Someone in the water with us. We are never alone. And he's always keeping an eye on us. And some of us kind of grew up thinking, well, Jesus is keeping an eye on me to make sure I don't mess up. Actually, Jesus is keeping an eye on us to make sure we don't drown and we get to the place of safety. He is always watching. We are not alone. And anxiety wins when we distance ourselves from Jesus and each other, but peace guards our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus, because real peace is found in Jesus. And where much of my anxiety comes from is when I want Jesus' promise of peace, but I want to do my life outside of the path he has planned for me. Real peace is found when I do life in Jesus, and that's what Jesus says next. He says, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus makes two promises here. You're going to love one and hate the other. First promise, peace. How many of us would say, I'll take that promise? Second promise, trials and sorrows. How many of us would say, let's stick with one promise? Jesus says, I'm promising you two things. You are gonna have peace in me, and you are gonna have many trials and sorrows in this world. Anxiety comes from believing that only one of those promises applies to us. And it doesn't matter which one we believe. If we don't believe the other one, we will end up anxious. And here's what I mean. Some of us focus on Jesus' promise of peace and conveniently overlook the many trials and sorrows part. I do this, by the way. I've found myself here and I've had many conversations over the years. A lot of us struggle with this where we're thinking, Jesus, I don't understand. I'm following you. Why am I going through all these trials and sorrows? And Jesus says, well, the best I can tell, it's because you're on earth. And that's what I promised. Are you saying you don't want to be on earth anymore? Like, we can arrange that, but that's a whole different story. But you are experiencing many trials and sorrows because you are on earth, which was one of my promises. And so some of us get hung up on the peace part. And there are even many times spiritual communities and pastors and preachers who will hyper-emphasize, put your faith in Jesus and nothing will ever go wrong around you. And that is not what Jesus promised. He said, you will have many trials and sorrows on this earth. But there are others of us who get fixated on the trials and sorrows. And I've been here where it's like, oh, I guess I just need to accept life is horrible. It's always gonna be horrible. God's never gonna do anything in this life. I'm just waiting for heaven, someday in heaven, but as long as I'm here, tomorrow's gonna be worse than today. And we get hyper fixated on that and we forget that Jesus said, no, you're gonna have many trials and sorrows on this earth, but you can still have peace in me. Jesus never promised peace in general. He promised peace in him. He said, if you'll live your life in me, then whatever is going on around you and whatever is falling apart in the world around you, it does not have to rip you out of that place of security and confidence because you are living in me. And here's what can change our perspective. We will have many trials and sorrows on earth, but we can still have peace in Jesus. And we experience peace in Jesus when we remember that whatever we face on this earth, Jesus has already ultimately overcome it. And the promise of peace is forever. The promise of trials and sorrows is temporary. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus knocked the teeth out of my trials. They're trying to gum us to death. They don't have teeth. He took the sting out of my sorrows because sorrow without hope says this will always crush you. Sorrow with hope says this is burdening me now, but God will one day lift it off me. And real peace is found in Jesus. When I do my life in Christ, I surround myself with him and I breathe in his promises. So what does that look like practically? How do we learn to breathe in the peace of God and breathe out our anxieties? I want to show you what it means for me. Over the past few years, this has become a big part of my path to peace in Jesus. And I want you to stay with me on this, but I want to show you that the path to peace for me involves four things. It's what it looks like. First, inputs. These are my responsibility. What this means is I decide what I breathe into my life, that I can control. I make a daily decision what I let in. I can't control everything, but I can make a daily decision what my spiritual diet is going to be, and my mental diet, and my emotional diet. What am I going to put in my life? That means I can choose to read God's word, read the Bible daily. I can choose to pray for more of God's presence in my life daily. I can ask for God's guidance daily. You know the lie of anxiety? The lie of anxiety is you can't control everything, so therefore you can't control anything. That's not true. I can't control so much going on around me, but I can decide my inputs. What am I going to put in my life? I can put myself in environments where people around me are leaning into their faith in Jesus. So what does this look like for you? It might mean coming to Plugged In, finding your place in this community of faith so that you're not scattered. It might mean practicing a slot and spot this week, a time on your calendar and a place you go every day to pray, to read the Bible. It might mean that you listen to worship music on your way to work this week because you know your boss. And you can't decide what he or she is going to act like, but you can decide the inputs that you place into your life. To experience peace, take back your inputs. Nobody controls those except us. We decide. We get to choose what we put in us. That's the first part of the path to peace. The second part is outputs. What does that mean? Well, these are also my responsibility. And what this means is I can decide to actually do healthy, life-giving things, including the things that God says. Not perfectly, but consistently. I can choose what I do. I cannot choose what you do, what other people around me do. Can't choose what my spouse does or my kids do. I cannot choose what my neighbors do. I cannot choose what politicians do. Can't choose any of that. But I can choose what I do. Those are my outputs. I can choose simple things like when I eat and how much and what kind of food. I can choose when I sleep or exercise. I can choose where I put effort. And as a follower of Jesus, I have the power of the Holy Spirit to choose to obey God. Before I knew Jesus, I could not choose to obey God, no matter how hard I tried. But now that I have Jesus in my life and I'm doing life in Jesus, I can pursue what is God's best and I can turn away from what is not God's best. I can serve, I can give, I can forgive, not perfectly, but I can get back up when I fall down by the grace of God and I can pursue again what God has planned for me. Those are my outputs and they are 100% within my control. So what does this look like for you? It might simply mean coming back next weekend as we continue the series, because you can't decide whether anxiety continues to come against your life, but you can decide to be here for the next 4 weeks to learn how to face it. That's an output. It might mean signing up to be baptized, because the instruction of the New Testament to all of us who put our faith in Jesus is to take the step of going public with our faith in baptism. Does being baptized mean nothing will ever go wrong in your life again? No, but it's an output. You can control it. To experience peace, take back your outputs. You actually have more authority than you think you have to determine what you will do. So inputs and outputs are my responsibility. So what's God's responsibility? Well, he thought you'd never ask. Here it is. Incomes. Incomes are God's responsibility. It is God's responsibility to provide for me, financially and in every way. A lot of our anxiety comes from fear that we won't have enough. But when you do your part and trust God to do his part, then you can know he will provide. You are not alone bobbing up and down in the water about to drown. Jesus has his eye on you. He will take care of you. And even if there are trials and sorrows along the way, he will not let you drown. So to experience peace, give God back your income. It's something you've been holding on to that is actually God's responsibility, not yours. Breathe that out. Give God back your income. And then fourth, last but not least, outcomes. This is also God's responsibility to see you through to the end of your story and to cause every situation you face in this world to end up being for your good. And outcomes are different than outputs. Outputs are my responsibility. But how it all turns out, when I live my life to honor God, how that all turns out, that is not my problem. That is God's problem. Aren't you glad? Isn't that relieving? That I can look at God and say, God, how this all turns out, the outcome is your problem, not mine. To experience peace, give God back the outcome. So worry wins when I don't do what is mine to do, or I try to do what is God's to do. But real peace is found in Jesus. And if you would say this weekend as we start the series, that you need God's peace in your life, would you just lift your hand all over the room, all of our locations? And I want to pray it over us, but right before I do, here's what I want you to do. Just breathe in promises of God and breathe out what is not your responsibility. Let's pray. Father, we love you and honor you. We come to you together and ask you, God, in your kindness, to see us in our anxieties. Jesus, you got down on the ground with us. You knew we would face moments when our worry felt overwhelming. Our stress seemed to stretch us beyond what we could handle. But right now, you're reminding us of your promises to all who live in Christ Jesus. We breathe in responsibility over what we put inside of our minds and our hearts again. Some of us have allowed some lies to linger. We take back control over our inputs. And we breathe in this commitment to our outputs, that what we do when everything around us is tempting us to do the opposite matters. And God, we breathe out our incomes, our fears about the future, and the outcomes, God, we release back to you. Give us your peace as you promised. In Jesus. And while you let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart for a moment more, you know, starting a real relationship with God really means releasing the outcome of your whole life to him. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you try to hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you let go of your life and you trust in me, you'll find your real life and you'll keep it forever. And putting your faith in Jesus means trusting him to be leader and Lord of your life. It means that you believe that what he did when he died on that cross really worked. He forgave your sins, and he's giving you the power to live a new kind of life. And if you want to take that step today, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to begin following Jesus. I want everyone to join me again. Just open your heart up to God. And if that's you today, you want to put your faith in Jesus for real, for yourself. And right where you are, prayer of faith from your heart, you can whisper it out to him, something like this: Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. And I release my life to you. I've been trying so hard to hold on to it, and I've been losing it in the process. But I believe you died to save me, and that by your grace, I can be rescued today from a life without you. Save me now. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, would you lift your hand? Yeah, all over the room, all of our locations, just lift that hand high. Yeah. Putting my faith in Jesus today. Online, you can type the word faith in the comments. Let us know you're taking that step. And then, Journey, would you help me? Come on, let's celebrate that. Let's give Jesus all the praise together.